Children, you can be dismissed if you would. The rest of you, if you'll open up your word to Luke 10. It's a good day today. It's a great season. I know there's a lot of shake, rattle, and roll going on in the nation again as we've come up on what happened here in California this past week. We're not going to go there today. I preached a couple of weeks ago based on what happened in Paris, and sadly, they're coming about all too often. But we do have online a message that we ministered called God's Normal versus the New Normal. So that's online. If you go to kingsparkraleigh.com, I just pulled a blank. Anyway, we have a podcast, sermon podcast there, and again, it's called God's Normal versus the New Normal. In that, we're going to refuse to just acquiesce to the new normal, but we're going to contend for the breaking in of the Lord in our city, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. So can I get a witness up in here, somebody? Uh-huh. All right, just making sure we're not just going to lay down. We have weapons. We don't fight against and wrestle against flesh and blood. But we do wrestle, and we do have weapons, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we can go into our prayer closet and topple kingdoms. Hello? And so we don't go out and pick up armament in the natural, but we have a role to play by standing in the gap and crying out to God, being in His face where we can see things shift. It's an if my people issue, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, God would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So that's our confidence. So very good. You can see that if that applies. But here we are today. We are in this Advent season. Let me just ask a question here, and we're going to throw a few of these up on the screen. Can anyone identify with a few of these items that we're going to throw up here today as we are definitely in the season? Can anyone identify with shopping for gifts? Now, again, this is something that whether you like it or not, it's just part of the season. Shopping for gifts. Can we identify with getting to all the necessary holiday parties and Christmas parties? Putting up the decorations, whether you're a grump or not, a Scrooge or not, those bad boys have got to go up. Cooking meals, wrapping the gifts. Now, women, that's got to be relegated to you. Men, I don't know what it is. There's just something about we'll take 2 inches of wrapping paper on something 5 feet long and feel like we've done a good job, and then maybe we'll patchwork it a little bit. You know, it just doesn't quite look the same. It looks like the man did it. You know, so we're not trying to presume on you, but it just doesn't quite have that touch. It's like, you know, it's like somebody's backside coming through the hospital gown. It just doesn't look quite right. It's got to cover that thing through and through. So anyway, women, help us if you would. So wrapping the gifts, again, whether you like it or not, of course, my default is just stick it in the bag, a little tissue on the front. You know, that's always the best thing to do. Just a little tissue up there and that'll suffice. So anyway, wrapping the gifts, making enough cookies and bread to give away if they ever actually do get out of your house. How many of you men have had something made before by someone in the house and they're like, ah, and you're like, well, what's the deal? And that's for someone else. Well, don't I get a little bit of that? Can't the homeland have a little bit, you know, before they get exported out somewhere? Well, yeah, we'll make another batch for you. Well, this is looking mighty good over here, and it's hot now. Well, just hold your business. So anyway, making enough to be able to give away. Also, buying a tree, putting up the tree. Buying it's easy. Putting it up, that's a whole other matter. You know, getting that thing from the bucket outside. It's like your wife was, all right, it's soaked up enough water. Get that thing in here and put that thing up. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago sitting on my couch just looking at the news and the trees right there. And it was as if in slow motion, I'm thinking, is this really happening? The tree fell and just landed right on the coffee. Throwing off ornaments, the lights, everything thrown to the floor. Of course, the water running on the oriental carpet, all that. I thought, I can't believe it. I had to take everything off, stand that bad boy back up, redecorate it again. And I'm telling you, 2 days later, I'm thinking, am I really seeing this? Here it comes again. So my lightning fast mind thought, I'm going to go to the store and get a bigger stand is how we're going to fix that. So at any rate, this is all a part of the season. And we are going to get in the Bible here a little bit in Luke 10. We'll get there. We're teeing it up here. But also fighting the traffic, that's a lot of fun. Nothing like mall traffic. That's fun. You know, that's really at the top of the list. Stretching and squeezing money to buy gifts. Now, what's really embarrassing is when you re-gift the person who originally gave you the gift. That's a bad day. But anyway, bad day. Also, if married, figuring out when to celebrate at both sets of parents without offending either. Of course, all of the stores on occasion could be out of the gift that you are looking for. If you're looking for a remedy for that predicament, I recommend watch Jingle All the Way with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That'll kind of help ease your pain a little bit, but that does happen on occasion if you too need Turbo Man. But anyway, three frightening words also come around this time of year, and that's some assembly required. I mean, how many of you know that's a setup right there? That's, yeah. Having the right clothes for social occasions. Another issue, gaining weight. Beyond that, gaining more weight, okay? Christmas programs for the kids at school. Untangling strands of lights. Sending out Christmas cards. Cleaning the house. Forgetting someone for whom you should have purchased a gift. Feeling the pressure to make a memory, facing relatives you might not adore. Now, I tried to be as diplomatic as I could on that. Was that pretty diplomatic? Okay. That you might not adore. Work that is due on a rapidly approaching December 25 deadline, knowing that you might need to spend Christmas alone. Another is overlooked words, batteries not included. These are all first world problems. We realize that. Navigating family that celebrates separately to the divorce. That's a reality at times. Christmas lights that won't work. That came with the curse in the original sin in the garden, you know, along with mosquitoes and other things. Just Christmas lights that don't work. Arranging travel schedules and packing. Missing loved ones who have passed away, possibly. Paying off the credit cards. Weeding through crowded stores, family members who find where you hid their presence. Did I say gaining weight yet? Did I say that one? Okay, just checking. All right, yeah, I knew I did. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit in view of this season about stress. Kind of a little interesting thing to talk about on a Sunday morning, but stress. And I want to entitle this today, Rejecting Stress and Choosing Rest. Rejecting stress and choosing rest. See, some people don't have a viewpoint that we actually have anything to say with the condition of our soul, our emotional state, how we're doing. But we have a lot to do as long as we know where to go to manage things that come our way, especially in a time of crunch. But again, I want to emphasize the word choosing as in a choice. Can you say choice? I'm going to read our proof text here in just a bit, but I want to unpack this just for a second. Stress can be caused by anything that creates alarm in our emotional and our physical systems. It mobilizes our body's defenses against threatening and challenging events in our environment. Now, in some settings, stress is not altogether a bad thing. But stress can result from anything that firstly annoys us. It can come about from those things that threaten us, things that provoke us, anything that excites us, anything that scares us. It can come from anything that worries us or hurries us or pushes us. Ever felt pushed? All of a sudden you feel that stress level rising. Angers us, frustrates us, challenges us, criticizes us, and just issues that can reduce esteem. You know, interestingly enough, stress can be caused by almost anything pleasant or unpleasant. It's not only the, quote, negative things that come into our lives. Even good things can create stress. For instance, experts say that getting married is actually more stressful than getting fired from your job. Go figure. Some of y'all are thinking, yeah, I'd like that stress. You know, let that stress come quickly. But at any rate, there is a stress that's linked even with good things. It's been said that retirement is more stressful than moving to a new residence. So in life, there's stress and there's just no getting around it. The key is, how do we manage it, or even go so far as to say, how do we reject it? I think that's the key. How do we reject it? Now, easier said than done, certainly, but that's what our walk with God and our faith are all about, overcoming the pitfalls emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, through Him who is rest and peace. So let's look at a familiar story here in Luke 10. Are you there? Let's pick up here in verse 38. You know the story well. A couple of friends of Jesus here. Jesus, verse 38, and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Lord, we ask you, speak to our hearts. Change our lives this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. In verse 41, here Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are what? You are worried and upset about many things." The NAS says, "Martha, you are worried and you are bothered." The King James says, you're careful and troubled. The Message translation reads, "Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing." Other translations have other descriptions. But Mary, you're so bothered. Question: are we easily bothered? Are we easily bothered? Because what we want to come away with is that we actually have something to say in the equation. We have a choice on whether we're going to be bothered, easily bothered, or not. And we can learn this over time as we walk with the Lord, as we walk with the one who is peace, namely the Prince of Peace. We can begin to manage, yea, even push back and reject these forces that are crowding around us. There are those that manage stress by harmful means. They drown it, you know, bad relationships. People get into all kind of vices trying to drown the pain or drown the pressure or looking for a release valve. Well, we can find a release valve. I mean, there is a way to get around that. But again, this whole notion about being easily bothered, because if we are, it's hard to really walk with God and know God and to maintain that sense of His presence. If we are, we want to check ourselves in a healthy way. And we have to ask ourselves, you finally have to get to a point where you get a little bit sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you ask yourself, what's going to be my Lord, stress or Christ? Because we can serve anything, and we will serve anything because we're creatures of worship. We're made that way. We'll take something this big, a thimbleful, and we can blow it up. We can magnify it, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But we have to decide, what's going to be my Lord? Who's it going to be? You ask, well, is it that simple? Well, yes and no. Again, remember our title today is Choosing Rest. And according to this text, it is a choice. Verse 42 reads, Mary has what? Chosen what is better. Can you say chosen? Now, it wasn't that she was abdicating responsibility. She's just thinking, Jesus is in the house. I've got one shot to hang with the man. I mean, we can always eat. I mean, we can always, you know, tidy up. We can always, but Jesus is in proximity. And I'm not going to waste this moment. My priority is I put so much value there. I'm going to dignify him as the greatest value in the universe. Therefore, it's okay. I'll let all those other immaterial things go. He's in the house. And I want to make sure my equilibrium is right. So I'm going to get near to him. And that actually dignifies him when we choose to draw near to him. So again, Mary has chosen what is better. She saw that things weren't quite ready. She saw that there were chores to be done. She knew there was work to be done. But it has its place, you see. She chose the better part. Let's track her choices. In verse 39, it says about Martha, she had a sister called Mary, who did what? She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now that was a choice. That was a choice. It was a position and posture of heart that we too can have, whether in prayer or going about the course of our day, attending our business. We can, quote, be at his feet regardless of where we are and regardless of what we are doing, whatever the activity. See, stress doesn't always schedule an appointment like, look, I'm going to break in on Tuesday morning at 10, and you're thinking, oh, it's kind of crowded that day. I won't have time. He just comes right on in, not even asking, doesn't even knock, messes with your thermostat. I mean, just rude, no manners. You know, just stress just comes in. Eats your food, you know, gets up and if it tells you what you're not, paints a dark picture, you know, reminds you of everything undone. And it just kind of comes on in. So it's not scheduled. So we just got to make a choice. All right, this is part of life. I mean, we can't live in denial. If we're going to live life, there's going to be a measure of pressure. There's going to be a measure of stress. So knowing we can't always reduce the culprit or reduce the source, what we can do and what we do have control over is I refuse to be led by that or controlled by that or manipulated by that. I'm going to choose to be at the feet of Jesus and listen. Now, it doesn't mean that all day long we're just, no, I mean, we got to do life. Are we here? We got to go to work. We got to go to school. But it means in our heart, ooh, I feel that stress, rap-a-tap-tap knocking. It's like, no, I'm at his feet. No, no, no. Hey, I want to get your heart rate up. No, no, not going to do it. You have every right to have a breakdown. No, I'm not going to break down today. You deserve one. Yeah, no, I don't think I will. Don't think, but everything shows itself to be that everything is stacked against you. No, I'm going to choose the better part. I'm going to be at his feet even when I'm out and about. See, the Christ dwells within. The kingdom is within. It's not just something that we're going to inherit in the quote, sweet by and by. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is within us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We can have equilibrium now. Peace is not absence of war, but in the midst of the fray and conflict, I choose Jesus. And could it be that if I go to his feet, he has a word for me? Many times he'll say, steady, she blows. Nothing's changed. I still love you. I am still in control. And that keeps you steady in the midst of the stress. You have the right to freak, but you just refuse it. We carry this position of being at his feet wherever we go, listening instead of worrying. I'm telling you, when God drops something in your heart, it could be just a little love letter, just a little communication. You get it when you read his word. That's why the Bible is so imperative. Again, I mentioned Robert Morris, the pastor of Gateway in Dallas, who said that sometimes people will ask when they're new with their Bible, you know, well, how do you exactly read with the, you know, how do you read the Bible? He goes, well, just, you know, start with the inside. That'll be good. That's a good starting place. Just, you know, on the inside. But as we honor God's word, it'll be a force of stability to our soul. So, in the attitude of our heart, we're listening and allowing Him to define our reality. Allowing Him, sitting and listening. Not physically, although we need to do that. We physically do need to sit and listen. We need to have prayer times when we shut the door, turn the TV off, tell people, I'll get with you later. I'm in an appointment, you know. And so you sit and you listen. We need to do that. That's critical. But also, as we're on the move, we have that posture of, I'm still sitting and listening even though I'm moving. I'm still sitting in my heart. I'm still listening in my heart. I'm taking what I had there. I'm just taking it with me. I'm not neglecting that. I'm just taking that position with me. And opportunities do present themselves all the time. Do they not? You feel that thing mounting up and you make a decision? No. And you just center in. I'm at your feet. Lord, what would you say? We know what He would say. We sit down from stress. We plop down before the Lord. Verse 40, speaking of Martha, says, Martha, though, was distracted. I mean, there's distraction today like never before. I mean, it is amazing now that all these hilarious YouTubes of, you know, cell phone, dead men walking. I mean, have y'all seen them falling into the fountains? You know, they're walking. I mean, it is amazing just to see a picture like New York. I mean, you know, there could be an IED just right there. They wouldn't, you know. Has anyone here yet bumped into anything? Be honest, while you're text walking, anyone? Just curious. All right, very good. All right, one. All right, but anyway, I mean, there's more to be distracted over these days. I mean, things coming. Martha was just, you know, distracted, and you know, people have a fear of missing out, you know, and just have to be in the know about everything. Distracted. The Living Bible says, but Martha was the jittery type and was worrying. I love that. Was the jittery type. While Martha is worrying, Mary is listening. One is worrying, one is listening. When stress knocks, we can go to worry, we could say, Lord, what would you say? And He'll never say, freak out. I don't know. Why are you asking me? He's always got a word in season to stabilize us, does He not? He always has a stabilizing word. So it's like, I can take that, or I could see, what would God say? We go to His word. If we don't have a Bible in front of us, we still our hearts. Lord, what would you say? And just practice the presence of the Lord and allow that surety to come. Now, we can hear some tone here in Jesus, when He calls Martha's name twice in verse 41. I mean, you know, she's jittery and He's like, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. This is not one of those pleasant times where your name is called twice. It's you know, like Taylor, Taylor, you know, it's just, it's not scolding in nature, but it is instructive in nature. Like, you know, Martha, look, I'm in the house. And you're worried? I'm here. I'm the answer to all your needs. I'm the answer to all your prayers. I'm the answer to anything you'll ever need. I'm it, and I am here on the premise. Martha, Martha. It's almost like, right here, Martha. Come on, right here. Right, lock up. Martha, Martha. It doesn't get any better than this. The kingdom has come to you in this very hour. It's not going to get any better. Martha, dishes or no dishes, hors d'oeuvres or no hors d'oeuvres. I mean, it's just not going to, I'm your hors d'oeuvre. Remember Jesus and the woman at the well? I have food you know not of. There's something richer and deeper than the things that just need to be done. And we're going to do those things, but we're going to do them in peace. LaRon and I have a little code. It's funny, when something's a little ruffled or something's like it's kind of falling short, you know, we look and we smile. That means it's been one of those mornings, or it's been one of those days. But that's the attitude, is you just count it all joy and you smile, but it's kind of our little code. It's a funny thing, but it's a good thing, you see. Martha, Martha. Jesus had a little tone, because Martha first had a little tone. She had a little whine when she said in verse 40, Lord, don't you care? I mean, you're talking, this is a grown woman, not a 3-year-old, you know, kind of the lips, you know, and the furrowed brow, And, you know, it's just all coming apart. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I mean, I can just imagine that Martha was a bit passive-aggressive, you know, and I can imagine her just kind of going in there, just saying, you know, does anyone care how busy I am? As she comes in the room with her appetizers and her hors d'oeuvres, does anyone really care about? Oh, hey, Mary, there you are over there. Hey, Mary, see you over there. Don't bother getting up. Jesus and I wish I could also chat like some people, but you know, he'll be wanting to eat soon, and so I'll just go back in the kitchen and just continue to do my work alone. But trust me, Martha, being irritated, had some attitude up on her that day. Little attitude. She even gets a little huffy with the Lord. Don't you care? And then the next line is really revealing in verse 40, talking to Jesus. She says, to the creator of the universe, the one who hurled the galaxies into existence, tell her to help me. Explanation point. Can you imagine that? God. Tell her to get in here and help. I mean, if I were Jesus, I'm like, woman. Locust, come. No, but tell her. Jesus. There's so much to be done. It's as if he said, don't worry about it. I'm in the house. And here's the thing. Every day he's in our house, guys. He's in our house. He's with you at work. He's with you taking that exam. He's with you studying for those obnoxious tests. I mean, he's in the house. We have to be convinced. We are the house of God. He's in the house. He's in the house. He's in. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do the stuff. It doesn't mean, oh, okay, well, I've got a license not to be stressful. I just won't leave my room. No, it'll get more stressful. Just, you got to live life. We have to be responsible. But in the midst of carrying out the responsibility, he's in the house. All is well with my soul. Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. Level me. Satisfy me. I reject the other. Rejecting stress, choosing rest. Can we say that together? Rejecting stress, choosing rest. Martha, jittery. Stress will do that. To choose to be stress-free is to choose to be at the feet of Jesus, listening. I found a precious, precious passage of Scripture two nights ago out of Isaiah 50, latter part of verse 4, where it says, he, God, wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen. Like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I love that because many times when we're in the waking hours between sleep and waking up, sometimes there's a real clarity in hearing the Lord because we're free from busyness and distraction. We are stilled. That's a real pristine time many times to receive a word from the Lord. But here it says, he, God, wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear. You say, I don't know if I can really hear the Lord. It's all right. He will waken your ear. Claim this text for yourself. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. We have need of being taught and instructed and led. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. Why? Because he wants to talk to us, with us. Many times will we listen. Will we listen? This past Sunday was kind of an interesting Sunday. Just a week ago, about 4 in the afternoon, I received a phone call on my cell. And it was my sister-in-law, but it was a man's voice. Taylor? I'm like, yes. He goes, hey, this is Jimmy Colon. He said, I'm over here at your brother's house. The EMS is over here, and they're treating him for stroke symptoms. I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm on my way. My mother was in the living room, and my sweet little mama said, I'll be back. I'm just going to attend to something. And so went out, And now my brother's a whopping 57, just 57. So anyway, my sister-in-law saw that he was acting a little sluggishly. Y'all probably know the acronym FAST: face, arm, speech, and then time. You know, as far as indicators of a stroke. A stroke many times is just a little blood clot in an artery in the brain that will clog and won't allow the blood and oxygen to pass through. And so you want to attend to it fairly quickly, obviously, because brain cells are dying, and so there's a timing issue. So anyway, as soon as she realized something is wrong, she called her neighbor, who's a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist. And he went over there, and he was smart enough. The first thing he saw my brother, he said, Burton, shake my hand. And he just sat there, and he said, look, I'm fine. He goes, shake my hand. And he couldn't do it. So anyway, the EMS got there, and they put him in the ambulance, and I followed. And we went to Wake Med. We're there at the ER. And he was starting to ask some questions, and they asked numeric questions many times on purpose. So, and he's totally fine, totally recovered. He was at the Carolina-Clemson game yesterday that the referee threw. But anyway, I can feel my stress level rising. But anyway, that offsides kick was not a penalty. It is on the record. But anyway, that's another. But he's totally fine, recovered really quickly. So don't worry. He's doing just fine. And it was a small stroke, a little more than a TIA, but not a big stroke. On a scale of 1 to 10, they said it was a 0.5. But so he's totally fine. So we've been laughing about this all week. But something wasn't quite firing, and his processing was trying to work to kick in. But the doctor in the ER said, how old are you? He said, 27. They said, what month is it? He said, February. No, wait a minute. November. He said, can you come back? I'm a little rattled right there. They said, no, we need to do this now. Because it's like, you know, you're not quite processing. And he would ask the ages of his children and all of that. But anyway, the MRI the next day showed that it was a small in the back of the brain, which is the best place if there's going to be something of that nature, but no memory loss or damage. And, you know, our anatomy is an amazing thing. There are even new arteries it's like pruning a bush that'll sprig, and just new veins, new arteries. I mean, this human body, our anatomy is amazing. I mean, you want to evangelize, you just stand up on a chair and say, look at this. I mean, wow. I know when my firstborn was delivered at Durham Memorial, I just wanted to say, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's just right now, if you're away from God, did you see that? I wanted to give an altar call right then. But I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's an amazing thing to me. But anyway, he was in for a day and a half. But there was one hospital doctor that was doing his rounds and was coming around, and he was not a believer, but he said, you know, just going forward, you're already walking in the morning, you're doing fine, you're healthy. He said, but you know, as far as blood pressure issues, he said, you know, you may want to, you know, add a little yoga, add a little meditation, you know, and the physician was trying his best to say, basically, just manage those things that are spikes, you know, in your emotional chemistry. But you know, much better than that, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Roll the whole of your care. This is a choice, church. It doesn't just happen. Intentionally roll the care over on the Lord, for he cares for you. When you're walking down the street and someone says, hey, good to see you, take care. Just say, no, I won't. I ain't gonna take care of you. Your mama can take, no, don't say that. But, you know, take care. No, I rolled it. I'm not going to take care. Not going to take anxiety. Doesn't mean we're responsible, but no, I'm going to give it. And many times as believers, we'll be so pious, we'll say, Lord, take the burden. Take it there. And then we walk on and we kind of miss it a little bit. My problem. My arthritis, my affliction. It's like a little pet. No, it means that when we give it to him, we give it to him. And then by faith, it's a choice. It's counterintuitive. Gosh, I've been with it for so long. It's just been us hanging for years. See, that's a familiar spirit. No, I just I mean, it's like the Emancipation Proclamation that Lincoln signed, and there were those that still would not leave the plantation because the fear of the future was greater than that present predicament of slavery at the moment. That's why this journey is one of faith, is I will break away. I will. I'm going to break away for my health, just for what's good and right, for what's healthy. I'm going to break away from that old booger. I'm not going to claim it. It doesn't belong to me. Well, it was always in your family. Your mama had it. Your daddy had it. It's in your family line. Well, sever that bad boy with the name of Jesus and his cross and his blood, and just say the bloodline stops right here. Are we here? But it's a choice. It doesn't just happen. It's a choice. It's a choice. Give it to him. Don't take it back. Roll the care. Roll the burden. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Y'all, again, that's counterintuitive. It can feel that way when you're used to doing everything yourself, especially if you've got a little control freak thing kind of going on, you see. As the theologians of Frozen tried to tell us. What? Let it go, let it. Some real truth in there. Can't believe what they did. Let it go. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and wishing they were dead. It's not logical. Let it go for your sake. God, here, I bid you adieu. Roll it. Roll it. Cast it. Martha snarkily asked Christ, don't you care? He could have said, of course I do. Therefore, you don't have to. Of course I do. Therefore, you don't have to. It's like two different people have got their hands on the steering wheel. One needs to let go. Jesus, what's that country song? What is it? Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it, Jesus. And he doesn't. And you told me to take the wheel. Well, I just wanted to sing it. I didn't mean it. I just wanted to feel humble. You know, Jesus, take the wheel. We sing these songs, you know, you are Lord, you are Lord. You have risen from the dead and you are Lord. He said, all right, get that out of your life. No, I won't, but you're my Lord. We're funny, aren't we? Jesus, take the wheel. Well, let him have it. It's a choice. It's counterintuitive. That's why I said, is it that simple? Yes and no. Yes, it is, but we have to process it out. We have to learn that way of faith. Do you see? Yes, I care, Martha. Therefore, you don't have to. Let me just read this in Luke 12 here before we take communion. And we're familiar with this. Luke 12, 22. Just very practical. It almost sounds poetic. How many of y'all know this book is intended to be practical? It's not just intended to be majestic, you know, and kind of a sing-song, swishy, you know, kind of a sunlight, something you put on a poster. It's supposed to be real, measurable, practical. And here, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, and about your body, what you wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They've not no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? See, if he's already doing it, we don't have to do it. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not, I can't see the sun's on it. What does that say? Set. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom. And these things, first seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you as well. It's a choice. It's a choice. He's in the house. He's in the house. Therefore, I'm going to reject stress. I'm going to choose rest. I'm going to reject stress. I'm going to choose rest. We're going to receive communion. If y'all can come on up and begin to pass out the elements. Jesus was harassed so that we can live in peace and be at rest. So grateful for that. So grateful. Again, it's a fun time of the year, but it can be traditionally a stressful time. But what we're going to say is we're going to manage it with the help of God. We're going to manage it. We're going to make choices that's going to make life a little easier. Students, y'all are coming down the pike with exams and all of that. I understand. It's not fun in the natural, but Jesus is in the house. Deadlines for those of you in the marketplace coming up on the end of the year. We're deciding Jesus is in the house. Challenges, things stacked up, managing expectation. He's at the house. We're going to be at his feet. Going to be at his feet. We're going to listen. The testimony is going to be that in the midst of that circumstance, he holds us secure and firm. Laughter also is a great medicine. It's the laughter of faith of my Father's in control. Jesus, you're so amazing. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Just while you're waiting for the last few to be served, just in your heart, roll care on him as you hold these elements. He took it. He cared for you. Just right now in your heart, roll it. Cast it on him. Isaiah 53 says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So as we receive these elements, we're going to make an exchange. His atoning benefit and blessing for all of our stuff that afflicts us and weighs us down. Lord, we thank you for this bread that represents your broken body. You were broken that we may be made whole and well. And we declare everything in our own physical frame to work correctly, head to toe, toe to head. Thank you that you are pierced and bruised, and by your wounds we are healed. So Father, we declare right now, body, align yourself properly with the word of the Lord and that atoning sacrifice. Lord, that benefit that you have healed all of our diseases and our sicknesses, you carried them in your body on the tree. So we just take this now and we eat this in remembrance of you. The punishment, the harassment that brought us peace was upon him. Lord, thank you that we don't have to serve a guilty conscience any longer. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to be bogged down by mistakes of the past. We can be free indeed. For he whom the Son sets free is in fact free indeed. Thank you for this cup that represents spotless blood poured out for us. Lord, we're making an exchange today. Every benefit of the atonement and the cross in view of our harassment. We just thank you for cleansing, stabilizing forgiveness, and settling us due to washing us in your blood. We take this cup and drink this in remembrance of you. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand together? Let's just sing that. Oh,
just adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Cry the Lord.
Yeah, make that exchange. Oh, come.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ
the Lord. Father, I declare your shalom over the people of God, your bride, your people that you love. Lord, that you brought us out of the pit to bring us to yourself. You've granted us your name, your cross, your blood. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Lord, we thank you. This is a great season. May we carry you wherever we go. Lord, I thank you. You're in the house. We choose to be at your feet, listening in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Can we give him a praise here, church? Bless the Lord. Praise God. Also.